All right, start it up. Get ready, everybody. We're rolling. We're rolling. Are we rolling? We're rolling. Rolling. We are rolling, people. Stand by. And action!
Well, music royalty reigns here today. That's right. These 2 hours of the All Request and Dedication program, this August 16th, 2017, commemorating the passing of Elvis 40 years ago today. Thank you for your memories. Thank you for your Elvis song requests. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to hour number two of this special edition of the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication program. Stan Turner with you here, a guy doing his usual wonderful labor of love and doing it so well. Bobby J. Bobby?
Oh, shucks.
Okay, yeah. I'll take it back.
Yeah,
okay.
Take it back.
Doing his media... No, no, no. Nobody's like you, brother, when it comes to putting together these shows. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And we heard the weather person there. We've lost 3 degrees. Robert, start looking around the studio here. 74 last hour, 71 this hour. That's crazy, I tell you. So we have an overcast day. Probably pick up some on and off rainfall this afternoon. But things are bright because we choose to celebrate the life of this man, Presley, whom we lost 40 years ago today, with his music, with his life, these wonderful memories so many of you have and are sharing. And speaking of which, we'll be going back live to Memphis here in just a couple of minutes to talk with Professor Otis Sanford at the University of Memphis. He was not professing much back in 1977 except in the newspaper. He was working for the Commercial Appeal in Memphis as a general assignment reporter, and guess what story he got to cover on this day 40 years ago. He'll take us back to that day. And a little bit later in this hour, we'll be talking with Dave Brown, who then is now a weather guy, a meteorologist on a TV station, huh?
And apparently he has a Cadillac story.
A Cadillac story.
Remember what our first guest was?
Yeah, Rob Grayson had a Cadillac story, right?
We have to ask him.
Some guy named George.
Yeah.
So Elvis giving somebody a Cadillac.
Right.
Pretty sure he didn't give me one. So we'll talk to Dave Brown, chief meteorologist emeritus at WMC TV Action News. He was a weather guy that day. They conscripted him, drafted him into the newsroom. They dragged him down the hall and said, "You're going to cover this story, which will be the biggest of your career, no doubt." So those two guys will be live on the phone with us with their memories of this momentous day, and we'll be playing your songs along the way. And I was remiss in not crediting Trucker Chris in Eau Claire for his request, Wooden Heart, last hour. Chris, forgive me for that. Trucker Chris, Wooden Heart, great song. And Paul in Grant, Minnesota, U.S. Mail, that Reed song there where Jerry's bending the fingers there on the guitar, and Elvis is bending the lyrics. There we go. So we're off and rolling here. We'll take your requests for our usual show, but we've got a pretty good backlog of those for tomorrow, Bobby, right? We're going to be pretty well consumed taking care of the Elvis show this final hour of the show today. So we'll get your songs on the air tomorrow for sure. And we'll have some Elvis carryovers out, too.
We might have 2 days of Elvis.
Absolutely. Can't get enough of Elvis. We mentioned the candlelight vigil in Memphis overnight, over the past night, and into this morning. Priscilla Presley, former wife of Elvis, and their daughter Lisa Marie were there to thank the thousands upon thousands of fans from all over the world who have congregated there in Memphis to commemorate this anniversary. And for the first time we mentioned this, some people with a bit of a frown anyway, having to cough up $28.75 to take part in the festivities, well, I can't call them festivities, but in the activities there on the Graceland grounds and the entertainment, the Presley Entertainment System. So the first time ever they've had to shell out some dough to do it. So there'll be some, backlash on that, but I don't think it's going to keep people away either. So, too important occasion. So, let's get rolling here, folks. It's 106. It's down 71 degrees in the Twin Cities. And we have a long-distance request here on our Elvis tribute today. Julie, originally from Northeast Minneapolis, Bobby. She's now residing in Collinsville, Illinois. She keeps close to us via live streaming through computer. Thank goodness for that. She has an Elvis song. Yes, this one was written by Chuck Berry when he was a guest of the federal prison system back in 1964. About 9 years later, Elvis, who was very much out of jail, sang it this way.
Get off. Straddle that Greyhound and rode him in the Raleigh and on across Carolina. wonderful war now.
Covering Chuck Berry there, a story of a poor boy, his journey from Norfolk, Virginia to the Promised Land, so-called, in Los Angeles, mentioning, you heard it there, various cities of the American Southeast that he encounters along his journey to the West Coast. Elvis got hold of that song in 1973, took it to number 14 on the charts, a real hard-driving rock and roll rendition.
Right. Yeah.
But then the originator of the song did the same thing, didn't he, Chuck Berry, no doubt about it. Thank you so much to our requester, Julie. Thank you. She's these days in Collinsville, Illinois, originally from Northeast Minneapolis. Julie, nice to have you in touch.
Yeah.
Keep it nice and close in contact here, and thanks for joining in on the Elvis tribute.
Remember,
today.
We used to get so many requests from Julie in Northeast Minneapolis all the time. She requests a lot of good songs.
And fortunately, she's still doing it. It's 110 right now. The case of the missing 3 degrees, 74 at this time last hour, 71 right now. What the heck is going on here? Maybe somebody stole them.
Yeah.
I don't know. So here we needed some extra degrees, I guess. A little chilly. We have another listener on the phone right now, someone with an Elvis memory, because that's what the show is all about today. MJ in Maplewood. Good afternoon, MJ. What's your story about Elvis?
Hi, Stan. Well, I ended up, first of all, my first-time husband, my radio is making my voice come back at me.
You turn down the radio if you could, MJ, and then, there you go.
Yeah, I'm just a minute here.
Some technical adjustments.
Okay.
There we go.
I heard that song this morning, and I thought, jeepers, I got a call for this.
Uh-huh.
All right. My husband, long time ago husband at the time, anyway, got into the Army, and he ended up in Fort Hood, Texas, where they had training, and Elvis was there in training, too.
Ah.
And both of them were sent to Bad Nauheim, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up over there with a six-month-old kid, and we lived in a place on Frankfurter Strasse.
Mm-hmm.
And the place, we didn't live on the on base. We lived on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big cement block home.
Mm.
And where I found out that Elvis, his father, and Elvis and his Vernon, his father's mother, lived there around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys used to play touch football out back of this place.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't know anybody that much, and so I thought I would take my six-month-old over and knock on the door and introduce myself to his grandmother. And so I went over there and knocked on the door, and all this entourage, all these fellas, came to the door and looking around, and I'm sure they were thinking, making eyes at one another and rolling their eyes and thinking that I probably wanted a signature from him.
Oh, I see. Part of his entourage.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that.
Memphis mob, yeah.
Yeah, well, the grandmother came to the door, and I introduced myself, and I said, I'm from Ashland, Kentucky, and I know you're from Steubenville, aren't you? And, and she was Vernon's mother.
Okay, so
that was Elvis's
Elvis's paternal grandma. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you met her.
She came in, came over and called me on in with the baby. She took the baby, fixed me some coffee, and we sat in her kitchen on these benches, and there was a little table between us, and we just talked and talked and talked, and she sent some cookies home with me, and...
Okay, did you ever see Elvis? Did he come by?
Well, that's where I'm leading to, too.
Yep.
He, some of the guys were stationed in Kirchgoyne.
Yeah, we're gonna have to move it along, MJ. Did you get to see Elvis? Did Elvis come by?
Yeah, I've seen him. He's been by. He waved to me from my big window where I kept my stuff.
That's great.
I had a stroller with my kid. All the Germans had trams, and so he recognized
me. Well, lucky you. How many people can say they saw Elvis in a setting like that? MJ, nice of you to share those memories. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, there we go. It's 1:14 right now. We carry on with Elvis's music here, too, and the great stories. First, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Tom from TimelyExpressions.com on KLBB Radio. Many of you have told me, I don't need a gift right now. You know, that's okay. I don't want you to buy something you don't need. What's the point in that? But when you do need that special personalized embroidered item, blanket, shirt, cap, whatever, give me a call at 612-414-3674 or check out our website. We can make sure they know how much you care even though they won't know how you did it.
When I found out I was pregnant, I panicked. I was afraid, feeling pressured. I didn't know what else to do.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know there were other options.
I didn't know the baby already had a beating heart.
I didn't know there were couples waiting to adopt. I called a confidential hotline and learned the facts. I found an option that both my baby and I can live with.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
Sing a song? Tell a story. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show with Stan Turner. Call 651-275-1220.
I don't just sign the autographs and the pictures and so forth to help my popularity or to make them like me. I do it because I know that they're sincere. And they say, yeah, and they want an autograph to take home. They got an autograph book. Oh, they've got their little camera and everything.
Lots of memories. Elvis Presley showing his true stuff right there. Yes, the voice is gone. The man is gone 40 years ago today. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, he lives on in so many ways. And what better way to recapture the memories than to talk to folks who were in Memphis on that momentous day back in 1977, this date. Professor Otis Sanford. Otis Sanford was one of them, a newspaper guy who had worked in Mississippi on the Clarion Ledger newspaper. And then a couple of years later, I believe, Professor Otis Sanford, you were in Memphis 40 years ago today with the Commercial Appeal newspaper. Is that right?
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
Professor, you had one heck of a story to cover, didn't you, that day? Tell us how you heard the news and what you did.
Did I ever? Well, I remember coming in that day around 1 o'clock or so. I was a young reporter. I think I was only about 24 years old. Had only been at the paper for about 8 months. And my job that day was to write regular obituaries for the paper. You know, young reporters had to do that kind of stuff back then. And so I sat down at my desk and had gathered all of the material to call the funeral homes to do regular obituaries. When the metro editor of the paper came out of his office with a real wild, strange look on his face, and he was just looking around for reporters. And he saw me first, and he said, get to the hospital. Get to Baptist Hospital. Elvis has been taken there. And of course, Elvis had been in the hospital before, and most people just ignored it, but there was something different about this one. And so I just grabbed my pad, and the hospital was only about 3 or 4 blocks up the street from the newspaper office, so I didn't even get in the car. I ran up to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, it was a lot of chaos leading into the emergency area. A lot of people were standing out on the grounds. And so I just started asking questions about what was going on, started talking to people, interviewing people, and in about 30 minutes or so, I got the word that, yes, Elvis indeed was dead and was in the hospital, in the emergency room there. And so another reporter for the paper who had joined me from downtown, we just started talking to people, and I wound up in the waiting room. One of the waiting rooms, and just started interviewing people about their reaction to the death of Elvis.
Yeah, getting back to the newspaper, these are the pre-cell phone days, Otis. So how did you get the word back to the paper that Elvis was in fact gone?
Well, they knew it before I did. Okay. So when I called the paper from a payphone, I think I found a payphone somewhere. Yeah. And again, the other reporter who joined me, and matter of fact, we have co-bylines on the next day's front page of the paper, which is now in immortality.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that Elvis was dead. By the time I called back to the paper after I'd done a lot of reporting, they gave me the instructions of how they thought we should handle it. Terry Keeter and I, who was the other reporter, just continue interviewing as many people as you can, then get back here, and write a reaction story, of the mood at the hospital at the time.
What were people saying, Otis? What were they saying? Was it just disbelief?
Disbelief. Yeah. A lot of people didn't even know. I told people.
Yeah.
They were wondering what all the commotion was about. And so when I told them that, you know, Elvis was here and he had been pronounced dead, they were just shocked. I just remember a lady that I quoted from, I think she was from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I still have that souvenir edition around here somewhere.
Yeah.
She said, "I just feel very depressed right now." And she just sat down on the couch and just couldn't really say a whole lot more. So a lot of people were just shocked that it happened. You know, Elvis had been, you know, a guy that was around Memphis a lot, and people sort of took him for granted. And they were just dumbfounded.
Otis, did you ever see Elvis around? Did you ever talk to him?
I never talked to Elvis, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I did some stories about him. I remember June of that year, before he died, I remember there was a guy that came all the way from Germany, and he was trying to get in the gates of Graceland.
Yeah.
And my editor sent me down there to talk to him, and I did a story about this guy,
yeah,
you know, trying to get into Graceland, came all the way from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Just before I came to Memphis, when I was in Jackson, Elvis was doing a concert down there, and this was in 76, and of course this was long before Craigslist and a lot of other ways to sell tickets, but a lady had raffling or put a want ad in the paper selling Elvis tickets, which was kind of unheard of back then.
Yeah.
And my editor down there had me do a story about this lady trying to sell Elvis tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But I never met him myself. I wish I had.
Yeah.
But I never did.
Otis, I've got to ask you, it is said that Elvis, his music, his personality straddled the racial color line. When you got the word that Elvis had died, were blacks as stunned and as grief-stricken as whites were?
I think a lot of them were. We didn't interview a lot of African-Americans. I'm African-American myself.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't interview a lot, but a lot of them were,
mm-hmm,
especially people in the music industry in Memphis.
Sure.
You know, Elvis was very comfortable and spent a lot of time around black musicians here in town, people who made their names on Beale Street, people who... you know, they used to have concerts here in town called the Starlight and Goodwill Review, which was for it was a black oriented concert. Elvis would show up at those places sometimes.
Oh, amazing.
And one of my favorite restaurants in town still has a picture on the wall of Elvis and B.B. King and a local entertainer by the name of Rufus Thomas.
Oh, sure. We know him.
Yeah,
we play his music.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have a picture of Elvis hanging out with Rufus. I do remember that at one point we got reaction from BB and Rufus and some of the other Stax entertainers around town because they were friends with Elvis.
Sure.
But in terms of the general population, yes, people liked Elvis, even though they did not show up in the numbers as non African Americans at Graceland mm-hmm. that night and the next few days.
Yeah. Professor Otis Sanford, what a wonderful collection of memories you've got, sir. Thank you so much. A young reporter you were, pressed into the story of your life that day, 40
years
ago.
It really was. It was a story of a lifetime. I never will forget it. I lived not far from Graceland myself at that time in an apartment. And I remember the next day, I couldn't even get around very much. But yeah, it's the story of one of the biggest stories of my life, and I'll never forget it, and I'll always keep that newspaper.
You tell it well. You're at the University of Memphis today, right?
I am. Okay, I'm a journalism professor now. I still write a column for the paper, but I work full-time at the University of Memphis as a chair of excellence in journalism.
Wonderful. So nice of you to spend your time and share your memories with us, Professor. Thank you again and again. We appreciate it
very much. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. There's a gentleman, scholar,
mm-hmm.
and a guy with a wonderful memory. Boy, those are great stories, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they all, though, about Elvis? We'll be talking to yet another journalist, I'd say, a journalist who started the day as a weather guy and wound up being a news reporter on the Presley death story. We'll be talking with Dave Brown a little bit later in the hour. Right now, back to your requests, your Elvis song requests. This is one that came in from Lake Elmo Jack. This is one we always play on St. Patty's Day,
mm-hmm.
but if we're lucky, we get to play at other times of the year, too, and this is one of those occasions.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone, and all the roses dying. 'Tis you, must go, and I must find. Tread above me, and then I grow. shall rest in peace until you've gone to.
Magnificent reading of that song. He could do anything and do it well. Oh. Elvis Danny Boy. 128 right now. We have 71 degrees in the Twin Cities. Remembering Elvis on this, the 40th anniversary of his passing. One of the guys who played as a session musician on many Presley recordings, a guy named Norbert Putnam, he was on vacation this day 40 years ago. He was in Hawaii with his family vacationing, and he got the word. Putnam was standing in line to pay for some items at a general store in Hawaii when he heard somebody say Presley had died. He said, "I reached into my pocket, threw some money down, ran to my car, threw the food down, turned on the radio, and the announcer said Elvis Presley died this morning." He said, "I sat there in my car and bawled like a child who had a toy taken away from him." Putnam said, "I could not believe it. I thought someone should have staged an intervention with Elvis. I thought he could have been saved." Now, Putnam, this guy Putnam, Norbert Putnam, Norb Putnam, was a bass guitarist and member of the renowned Muscle Shoals rhythm section, and he played on about 120 Presley songs. He recalls how much energy Elvis displayed during the marathon recording sessions that ran all night long at RCA Studios in Nashville in 1970. He said, "Elvis could focus better than any artist I ever worked with. He would learn a new song in 5 to 10 minutes and was ready to deliver a killer vocal on the first take."
Wow.
That, he says, was very unusual.
Oh,
and that is an understatement.
Yeah.
Amazing. Somebody who knew Elvis very well in the studio and outside. Isn't that amazing? Mm. He wanted an intervention. He said, "This man is ill. He needs help." But the so-called Memphis mafia around him, like a, you know, Praetorian guard, kept people away. So who knows? Who knows? Let's take a break here. It's 1:30 right now. We'll do the weather for you. We'll give you the Twin Cities weather and the Memphis weather, as we remember Elvis here. Today in the Twin Cities, we're going to have an on and off chance of rain, maybe a thunderstorm or two this afternoon. A high near 74. We'll be under the cloud cover all day. Same tonight. Overnight low 64. And yes, possibility of showers tonight as well. Maybe 1 to 2 inches possible overnight. Ooh. Thursday, tomorrow, a chance of rain. Cloudy skies, high near 73. What are the chances of rain tomorrow? 50-50. Friday, well, I think we finally get out of this deal. Partly sunny on Friday in the Twin Cities, high near 80. Saturday should be a splendid day. A high of 82 with sunshine. Sunday, 84 for a topper. About a 40% chance of rain. Yeah, most of that in the early afternoon. Monday, cloudy day again, 82 degrees. And Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high near 80. Right now in Memphis, temperatures in the mid-80s. Cloudy skies down there. With the humidity, they say it feels like 90 degrees this afternoon in Memphis, Tennessee, where tens of thousands of people are gathered to commemorate the 40th anniversary of Elvis Presley's passing. Here we are, 1:31 now. We're 71 degrees in the Twin Cities, and we have another Elvis request here. For this one from Mike in St. Paul, Bobby.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a song that came from 1956. This song is a sentimental song composed by Lieber and Stoller, again, those two great guys. This was conceived as a parody of country and western music. Elvis took it on in 1956, and this is what happened.
"Treat me like a fool, treat me mean and cruel. My faithful heart, tear it all apart, but love me.
Won't you love me?
If you ever go, darling, I'll be oh so lonely. I'll be sad and blue.
Beg and steal,
just to feel. close to mine.
So close to mine.
Wherever you ever go, darling, I'll be oh so lonely. I'll be sad and blue. I would beg and steal.
He would beg and steal.
Just to feel.
Yes, just to feel.
Your heart.
I want your heart.
Beating close to mine. Go, darling, I'll be oh so lonely, begging on my knees. All I ask is please, please love me. Oh, yeah.
There it is, Elvis. Love Me. Great song. Isn't that lovely? What a great treatment.
Yeah.
1956. Elvis took that one to number two on the charts in 56. 134 right now, folks. 71 degrees.
When it comes time to consider a move for yourself or for mom and dad, consider Scandia Shores of Shoreview. If you talk to the folks who live there, you'll know why. It's considered the area's most exceptional independent living facility for seniors 55 years of age and older.
You name it, there's something to do every day, a couple times a day.
A variety of things to do. There's something to appeal to each person who lives here. Everyone seems very happy. The attitude of people makes a great difference.
You don't really need a car, but you can have one, but you don't really need one. They take you just about every place you would like to go, from shows to luncheons, doctors.
Come check out Scandia Shores for yourself. Call Renee and set up a free, no-obligation tour. The number is 651-415-9793. That's 651-415-9793. Scandia Shores of Shoreview, the place where friends become family.
Ford set out to build the best truck ever, and the 2017 F-150 has more than lived up to expectations. Visit River Valley Ford in Baldwin today and see for yourself what everyone's been talking about. We know trucks, and we're ready to help. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and family choose River Valley Ford of Baldwin.
Find out why more people come here to River Valley Ford. River Valley Ford.
The wait is over. Stan's back, and he's taking your requests and dedications. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show on Club 1220 KLBB.
Lots of requests, and they're all dedicated to the memory of Elvis today. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, folks, for your participation on this special occasion where we observe the 40th anniversary of Elvis's passing. Yes, it was August the 16th, 1977, age 42, that Elvis left us. Oh, boy, his music hasn't, and we want to step it up a little bit here. We're going to increase the beat here. This is one of the great songs, and there were several out of the movie King Creole. Remember one from the Delta in 1958? Elvis, he's got a guitar. Man, he makes this guy work for his money. Let's go.
Well, a hard-headed woman, a soft-hearted man, been the cause of trouble ever since the world began. Oh, yeah, Elvis, that's the one we got. Listen here to me. Don't you let me catch you messing around that apple tree. Oh, yeah. Ever since the work of making. Oh, lady woman, when I saw it in the back of the wind. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ever since the work of making. Oh, lady woman, when I saw it in the back of the wind. Samson told Delilah, loud and clear. I keep your cotton picking fingers out my curly hair. Oh, yeah. Elvis, that's the one who begins. Oh, yeah. Oh, lady woman, better thorn in the heart of it. Oh, I heard about a king who was doing swell till he started playing with that evil Jezebel. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Elvis, that's the one who begins. bag of rock. If she ever went no way, I'd cry around the clock. I'll be
yeah, the guitar player had to work so hard, they actually had two, Scotty Moore and another guy, trading off there with the Fenders. Oh. Not Fenders, the big Gretsch, I think. Wow, I love that lyric. Samson told Delilah, keep your cotton picking fingers out of my curly hair. Like they're stomping down Bourbon Street there. King Creole, the movie, Hard-Headed Woman, a number one song for Elvis back in 1955. It's all about Elvis today, full immersion here as we commemorate the his passing 40 years ago today. And no better way to do that than to talk to people who were in Memphis Ground Zero on this day 40 years ago, especially those who were gathering the stories for news reports. And some people who started the day as non-news people wound up being conscripted, drafted into the newsroom. One such person, Dave Brown, who was kind of hauled from the weather room to the newsroom after the news of Elvis's death broke. Dave Brown, yes, Chief Meteorologist Emeritus at WMC-TV Action News, is on the phone right now. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for the call. I'm happy to be able to talk to you today.
Thank you. The pleasure is ours. Take us back to the day 40 years ago. You were a weather guy when you went to work that day?
Yes, indeed. Chief meteorologist at the NBC station in town. And I got into work. We had a massive fire that gutted our newsroom a few weeks before. So we were actually working. The entire news staff was working out of a couple of double-wide trailers outside the building. And the news director's office was not harmed by the fire. So I went wandering in just to see what the progress was on rebuilding and all of that, and saw the news director and the vice president of news sitting there. And the news director called me over, and he said, hey, Dave, he said, can you call George Klein? George was a longtime friend, still is a longtime friend of mine, and he and Elvis, best friends. And we worked together at WHBQ when I was a DJ there. And I said, yeah, I can call George. Why? What's going on? He said, well, we're hearing some stuff out of Graceland. And I said, well, okay, I'll call George. What are you hearing? He said, well, we're hearing that Elvis has died. And I said, oh, my God. So I called George. I got George, and he was just, I could tell he wasn't quite feeling right. And I said, GK, what are you hearing out of Graceland? He said, well, he said, I can't tell you anything, Brother Dave, but he said, I can tell you what I'm hearing is not good. Well, we were able to finally confirm the fact that that Elvis had died. And at about that moment, the telephones just virtually exploded. Every telephone in the place started ringing, and people from all over the world, radio stations, television stations from all over the world, wanted a sound bite, and they wanted it from somebody in Memphis, Tennessee. They didn't care who you were. They didn't care what you did. They just wanted a sound bite saying that the King of Rock and Roll is dead, and, you know, fill in just a little bit. So I did that for about 3 hours in the afternoon, and as I recall, it was all Elvis on our newscast. The only weather we did was I did put together a quick 5-day forecast, but that's all we did, and the rest of it was all Elvis.
The day you went to work as a weather guy and ended it as a news guy.
Indeed. Well, and it didn't stop there either, because after we did get off of our 5 o'clock news, we were on here from 5 to 6 p.m., and a photographer grabbed me and said, let's go to Graceland. So we went down there trying to get in to get a sound bite. We were kind of joining the people that had been calling us. We were trying to get into Graceland to get a soundbite with anybody for our 10 o'clock newscast. And Uncle Vester, who was at the gate, would let us inside the wall, but no closer to the house. We couldn't get more than about 35, 40 feet inside the gate, and we could go no further.
Oh, boy. Dave, we talked to Rob Grayson earlier in the program today.
Yep.
He, too, worked at WHBQ back in the day. And he mentioned George Klein, the fellow you mentioned who was a friend of Elvis. Did George get a car, a Cadillac from Elvis? How did that? What's the story there?
Well, that's one of my claims to fame, I call it. he did get a Cadillac from Elvis. I was working. I was what I used to call the George Klein sandwich. I worked from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, and then I came back and did 10 to midnight.
Uh-oh.
And in between, George had his prime show from 6 to 10. George was top DJ in town at the time and beloved. And so anyway, I was ramping up my show, and Herbal Mel, one of the Memphis Mafia, came in. We knew all those guys, and he said, "Hey, Dave," he said, "Elvis needs to see George, and it's very important. Can you work about an extra 30 minutes?" I said, "Sure." Of course, in those days, I mean, I'm well, how old at that age? Maybe 19 years old, 20 years old. And I would have worked for free, but I never told the bosses that.
Don't ever do that.
Yeah, I've got a couple of, I played a few more records. Well, it was about 2 hours later, not 30 minutes. And George comes walking in, and he looked like something bad had happened. And I said, "George, what's wrong?" He said, "I'm in shock, man." I said, what's happened?" He said, "Man, Elvis just gave me a Cadillac." So I was working for George Klein while Elvis was giving him the Cadillac.
Well, I hope you got a ride in it, Caddy. Why did Elvis give him the car?
Well, Elvis gave Cadillacs to a lot of people who were friends, acquaintances,
I do the same thing.
As I say, Elvis and George were among those people who had been very good friends since high school days at Humes High School, and they were just good friends, and he decided it was time for George to have a Cadillac,
yeah.
So he gave him the Cadillac. He told George once, and I've never forgotten this, I thought it was a great quote. He told George once, he said, "George, what good is fame and fortune if you can't share it with your friends and family?"
What a sweet sentiment. And he lived that, too. He just didn't say it.
He did.
Dave, did you ever see Dave Brown on the phone with us here? He's the chief meteorologist emeritus at WMC-TV in Memphis. We're talking live with Dave. Did you ever see Elvis around town?
I saw him about three or four times in fairly close proximity. I never officially met him, though. Even though we were very good friends with George, and we felt like we knew Elvis because George would tell us everything was going on that he could at Graceland. So we felt like we were kind of part of the group, although we certainly were not. But I never officially met him, never really got to talk to him. But I did see him on several occasions. I tell the story, too. We got invited, the DJs at WHBQ at the time, got invited to his New Year's Eve party one year.
Ooh.
And they said, he's invited you to the party. You can bring one guest. So I drove 90 miles to my hometown, picked up my girlfriend, and we went to Elvis's New Year's Eve party. But Elvis never made it. There, a big crowd found out where Elvis's New Year's Eve party was, and so they had the entrances blocked. And Sonny West decided, "Elvis, we're not going to take you through there." So my understanding, and I don't know that this is true, but what I was told is that they shuffled Elvis back in the car, went back to Graceland, and Elvis got a haircut.
Oh, got a haircut. And Dave Brown, you're quite sure Elvis never gave you a Cadillac, right?
I am absolutely sure he never gave me a Cadillac, no. Now, what I'm not sure about is when I got on television, if he ever shot the television screen with me giving the weather forecast.
I guess he was wont to do that once in a while, huh?
He did that at least once, yeah.
Dave Brown, just a final thought for you about Elvis and his passing and all the thousands of people who remember Elvis in Memphis and, of course, the millions around the world. What are your thoughts about him on this day?
Well, there will never be another Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, and you have to use this word carefully to use it properly, but Elvis was unique. I don't believe there will ever be another entertainer who has the loyal following 40 years after his death that Elvis has. There are thousands of people from all over the world in Memphis, Tennessee this week, and they're celebrating the life and the music of Elvis Presley, and I think that's a great testament. And the fact is, he's a guy who loved his mom, he took care of his family, he took care of his friends, in addition to being just incredibly talented. And I think that speaks very well for his legacy.
And you speak very well, Dave. I love your precision with the English language. There are no degrees of uniqueness. Either you are or you ain't, right? Huh? And he was truly unique. Yeah, absolutely.
That's correct. You may not modify unique. You're either unique or you're not.
I'm with you, pal. Thank you so much. Dave Brown, thanks so much for sharing your time and your memories. Wonderful.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. We did too immensely. Thank you. Dave Brown, talking to us live from Memphis, a weather guy who became a news guy in a matter of hours there on this day 40 years ago in Memphis. Bobby, let's take a break here. It's 148, 71 degrees.
Only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
We are all aging. Do you worry about services for your aging parents or for yourself as you grow older? A free call to the Senior Linkage Line gives you objective help to find the services you need, like getting to appointments, finding yard work help, and so much more. You'll even get answers to questions you didn't know you had. Call the Senior Linkage Line at 1-800-333-2433. That's 1-800-333-2433. Senior Linkage Line. We are aging.
Wolf Beer in the Bottle isn't just any bottled beer. Why? Remove the cork to find out. Hey, you bet. That's a real cork. Now pour. What a great taste. The Strong Golden is a Belgian-style ale featuring local honey from the valley, chamomile, and rose hips. Are you ready to enjoy? Go to wolfbrewing.com. Click on Beer Finder. Then ask for Wolf's, Stillwater's original craft beer. Wolf Brewing Company, Stillwater, Minnesota.
If you like what you hear on the Wolf Brewing Company All Request Show, let somebody know.
Better yet, stop in at one of our fine sponsors and thank them for supporting the show. Sponsors like
Riley Tours,
Timely Expressions,
River Valley Ford,
My Pillow,
Defined Destinations,
Scandia Shores of Shoreview,
Pro-Life Across America,
Wayback Burger in Woodbury,
Jaime's Haberdashery,
and of course, the Wolf Brewing Company.
The wait is over. Stan's back, and he's taking your requests and dedications. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show on Club 1220 KLBB.
Oh, so many of you out there. Rita, thank you in White Bear Lake. Your request, we'll try to get to it. If not, we'll do it tomorrow. Another request here. Let's see, this one from Rita in Columbia Heights. They go on and on and on, and we appreciate every one of them. Thank you so much. We've got one right here. You can take us back, Elvis, 1961. Remember this one, another guitarist who gets a pretty good workout on this one.
Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice, then say it's very nice and then you run. Little sister, don't you do what your big sister done. Well, I dated your big sister and I took her to the show. I went for some candy, along came Jim Dandy, and they slid right out the door. Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice, then say it's very nice, and then you run. Little sister, don't you do what your big sister done. Your sister, well, she's got somebody new. She's mean and she's evil like that little old Mo-Evil. Guess I'll try my luck with you. Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice and say it's very nice and then you run. Little sister, don't you do what your big sister done. Well, I used to pull your pigtails and pinch your turned up nose, but you've been a growing and baby it's been showing from your head down to your toes. Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice and say it's very nice and then you run. Little sister, don't you do what your big sister done. Little sister, don't you do what your big sister done.
some guy like a nice bass part there, didn't he? Don't do what your big sister done. Elvis Presley, yes, indeedy, number five hit for Elvis in 1961. Our guest Dave Brown here just a few minutes ago had it absolutely on the head, you know, unique in every sense of the word. Mm. Yes, indeed. There'll never, ever be anybody like this guy, not even close. Amazing, and so it just feels so good to be able to salute this guy, even though it's a sad occasion. Mm. Elvis lives on. Somebody said that since he died, the money that redounds to the Elvis Presley Enterprises, he's making more money after his passing than he did when he was alive. And of course, Colonel Parker skimmed a lot of it off when Elvis was around. So it's an amazing story in many ways. If you want to read what passes for the definitive account of Elvis's life, and there are bookshelves full of Elvis. Mm-hmm. Volume. Some of them very good, some of them not very good. But Peter Gorelnik has written a two-volume biography of Elvis, Last Train to Memphis and Careless Love is the second volume. If you get a chance to pick it up, you can get it at the library, too. It's worth your time. And it really is quite a read, and you'll get all essences of the man. All the nuances will be there for you. We're 154 right now. Thank you, Buku, for all the song requests on this Elvis commemoration program today. As I mentioned before, Bobby, we can play some of these tomorrow that we didn't get to today. Mm-hmm. We will, and parcel them on through the week if need be. So continue with your Elvis songs, please, as you always do anyway.
Right, yeah.
But we have a heavier than usual load today, tomorrow, and maybe the next day. So 651-275-1220, 651-275-1220. That's the main music request line by phone and email request at klbbradio.com. Elvis could do them all. Sometimes he got a hold of some foreign language songs. We heard him do a little bit with the German there a while ago. Yeah. Rita from Columbia Heights reminds us that Elvis covered a song that started out in Italy, and Oh Solo Mio, that kind of stuff. Well, he didn't shy from those kinds of songs at all. In fact, not shy at all. Took this song to number one in 1960.
Your smile so tender, my heart was captured, my soul surrendered. I spent a lifetime waiting for the right time. Now that you're near, the time is here at last. Just like a willow, we would cry an ocean if we lost true love and sweet devotion. Your lips excite me, let your arms invite me, for who knows when we'll meet again. Tomorrow will be
It's now or never, my love won't wait. It's now or never.
It's almost redundant to say Elvis and another number one song because it's about everything he did. That was number one for Elvis in 1960. It's Now or Never. One of two songs, popular songs, based on the Italian song, O Solo Mio. Remember that one? And the other one being There's No Tomorrow. This one, It's Now or Never by Mr. Presley, 1960. It has been our privilege and honor to remember Elvis along with you and some special people down in Memphis today. What a grand bunch of guys we had there on the phone today. We had Rob Grayson, we had Professor Otis Sanford and Dave Brown sharing their memories. They were there on this day 40 years ago when Elvis passed, and they were all news people, you know, frantically running around trying to piece the story together the days before computers and cell phones and all the rest. And you know what? They got the job done just fine. Thank you so much. If you're an Elvis impersonator, folks, you have time to get to Memphis. Tomorrow there'll be the Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Contest, semifinal round, and Saturday will be the final round. So if you got your jumpsuit back from the cleaners, go down there and get in on the fun. And yes, there is a lot of fun as we remember fondly and with a smile this man, Elvis Presley. Thank you for being with us so much. We'll catch you tomorrow right after the news at noon. Stan here, Bobby there. Have a great day. Bye.